Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Aerial family, thank you for hanging on. Even though we're not going to mention the Liberty much, hardly any at all, if any, this hour, I'd like to wanted to conclude this program today, kind of at least semi-conclude, because this is United States Ship Liberty Month. And like we said earlier for the last two segments, this very day, June 8th, 57 years ago, June 8th, 1967, is when the ship was attacked. And those people, you know, we'd like to want, and not so much that these men were just saints and things like that, you know, but we do it also. We not only do we do it for them, but we do it to bring attention, to try as best we can with what little humble means we have on Blood River Radio, to try to draw this attention to wake up as many people out there, what happened to the Liberty and who did it, who was in charge of it. And like Sam says, we don't have a country here in the United States of America. We're colonists. We have been colonized, and we're still being colonized every day by thousands and thousands of white-hating colors pouring across that border. But anyway, that's what we're going to do this third hour, dear listeners. I'm going to pretty much bow out because Sam Dixon has been good enough to come in. He's going to be working with the bell cow herself, Nancy Hitt, who's prepared a lot of stuff. And I know Sam will be able to adapt and work with her. But before we go to them, I'd like to play a short clip by Pastor Chuck Baldwin. He's telling you about, in 2 minutes and 46 seconds, he's going to tell you just some of the power that the Jew/Israeli lobby has on the United States of America. So if you will, Lizzie, when you can, dear, roll that video.
The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, if you haven't heard about them, you've been on Mars for a while. AIPAC spends $2 to $3 million a year lobbying Congress on behalf of Israel and promoting Zionist causes. And it frequently writes legislation for Congress. AIPAC. The American Israel Education Foundation spends millions of dollars annually on paid trips to Israel for members of Congress. They're constantly taking members of Congress to Israel for the purpose of influencing them. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, spends millions of dollars annually spying on Americans who are critical of Israel and uses massive amounts of money in smearing those people not deemed friendly to Israel. The mainstream media also promotes the Zionist agenda by accusing those on ADL lists as being anti-Semitic. The International Fellowship of Christian and Jews uses a $100 million annual revenue stream to promote Israel Zionism among evangelical Christians. The Central Fund of Israel uses a $20 million revenue stream promoting Israeli settlements in Palestine. Christians United for Israel, founded by John Hagee, run by a Jewish American attorney from Tel Aviv, David Brogue. Its lobbying arm is called CUFI Action Fund, headed by Gary Bauer, uses a $7 million annual budget to lobby members of Congress on behalf of Zionist causes. Hagee himself has given more than $80 million to Zionist causes in Israel. And then, if that's not enough in your spare time, you might want to check out the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Simon Wiesenthal Center, Israel Project, Friends of Israeli Defense Forces, Women's Zionist Organizations of America, the Jewish Agency for Israel, American Friends of Likud, American Israel Cooperative Enterprise, the Israel Allies Foundation, the Jewish Policy Center, Leon and Harry Helmsley Charitable Trust, Jewish Council for Public Affairs, Zionist Organization of America, World Jewish Congress, Republican Jewish Coalition, National Jewish Democratic Council, Center for Security Policy, Israeli American Council, etc., 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 etc. These are all lobbying groups for Zionist Israel in Washington, D.C.
Thank you so much, Lizzie. You know, and I would say, add this before I hand the torch off to Sam and Nancy. What he told you there was just scratching the surface. I have documents, I know, and Miss Nancy does too, we got from a source here in the United States, and that's scratching the surface. The immense power these Jews have, it's incomprehensible. I can't wrap my brain around it. But anyway, since Sam was good enough to come on at the drop of a hat, and I know Miss the Bell Cow has lots prepared. Sam, take off on that, and then when you get through commenting on that, Miss Nancy will hit you with some things that she's researched. I mean, dynamite stuff. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, Congressman Massey of Kentucky appeared recently on Tucker Carlson's broadcast, and he was the number one target of AIPAC, the American Israel Political Action Committee, to be defeated in Congress because he does not subordinate the interests of America to Israel. And anyway, he had a very interesting thing, which I'd never heard before, that when people are elected to Congress, each member of Congress is assigned a representative of AIPAC, usually a prominent Jewish citizen in his state or his congressional district. And he is the only one, Massey is the only one in Congress who has not agreed to set up this personal advisor for Israel. But these people take the Carson to lunch. They're in constant contact, telling them what is needed by Israel. And you see this. Some of us are old enough to remember when they used to show pictures of the Supreme Soviet in Moscow applauding Stalin. And everybody was frantically trying to show how strongly he supported Stalin. And they had to have a special light that would tell them, they'd come on to tell them that they could now stop clapping. When you see Netanyahu address Congress, it looks like those film clips from Stalin. They're frantically clapping, on and on, hysterical standing ovation. It just shows that these people are subordinating our country to the interests of a foreign country. And there's going to be a hell of a price that's going to be paid by America for that. The 3,100 people who died in the attack on September 11, when George Bush II was president, that scarcely even a little cracker, a saltine cracker at the beginning of the meal. There will be many more will die because of the actions of our congressmen and congresswomen in involving us in support of Israel. It's not
you
free.
Know,
it's not
going to you know, Sam, before we go to the break, the prep breaks came fast. Cynthia McKinney, she was black, but for her everlasting credit, she ran into trouble with the Jews. She would not sign the agreement to support them regardless. Congressman James Traficant ran into problems. We'll come back to that as soon as we come back from this break, folks. Be right back.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Hello, dear Blood River Radio people. We believe in the First Amendment here at Blood River Radio. We give both sides of the argument equal opportunity. So we have the head honcho in the Jewish Defense League coming on right now. We saw she could be referred to as the bell cow. And so we're giving her equal time. We really are. She's
thank
our
you.
Jewish sister. So go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I'm going to start out by saying that Sam Dixon is a hero of mine. I'm one of his fans. He may not remember anything about he doesn't remember even who I am, but I'm going to tell you a short story. I used to have horses. And I was going to a horse auction with a horse trailer down to Augusta. And I found out that in Marietta, there was going to be an SCV group meeting where Lester Maddox was going to speak. So I made sure that I booked to hear Lester Maddox. And it was a delightful speech. It was very compelling. I think he was about 90 years old. And after after the speech, he and I became friends. And even though I guess he considered me a Yankee being from Kentucky, but he often wrote to me. He often called me. And I was very impressed with Lester Maddox. At some point, I must have ordered a VHS tape of the event. And guess who was on the other side of the tape? Sam Dixon. Mm. And that is how I learned about you.
But I wasn't personally at that meeting.
I don't know, but you gave a speech that was on the other side of this VHS tape, and I didn't know how it got there or didn't know you, but that is was probably my first introduction. I mean, I'd been with the League of the South, and I'd been with, you know, SCV, been to SCV meetings. I'd been an active researcher for Confederate research for many, many years, probably 15 or 20 years, putting up VA markers, but the way that I really found out about you was from this VHS tape that on the one side was the program, or wasn't very well copied, but it was Lester Maddox at the SCV meeting in Marietta. And on the other side, you were speaking, not at the meeting, but you were giving a speech, which I totally agreed with. So that is our background, and, you know, I don't know that we've ever met. I've been to so many different meetings, but I don't know that we've ever met. But back to APAC. Well, I don't know. I don't get around like I used to. Hauling horse trailers around to Georgia seems like something I can't do right now. But in fact, I don't want to have a horse. But back to this interview with someone I'm just so proud of, Thomas Massey. I almost mentioned him every Saturday. I'm so proud that we have one man with guts and courage, and I think he's just, to me, he's amazing. But in this interview that was done with Tucker Carlson, you know what the thing that stood out for me? Tucker Carlson's been around and involved with politics and people for years. He did not know what AIPAC was. Come on now, why didn't he know that? I mean, I know that the ordinary people don't know what AIPAC is. They probably never heard of Buying a Brit, or they've never heard of all these Jewish Zionist organizations, but I would have thought that Tucker Carlson certainly would have understood the insidious influence that the Israelis have upon our government. It's not really our government. It is really the Israeli government. Let's face it. One of the things I want to recommend, I just watched this today, and Thomas Massey built his own house in eastern Kentucky, and he also did timber framing, which my brother also built his own timber frame house. But Thomas Massey did a wonderful, wonderful video called Off the Grid. It's about land in eastern Kentucky where he was raised. It's about his home, and it's about his philosophy. And I think all of us who are listening, I don't see how you could be in opposition to what Thomas Massey believes. I mean, he's like he said, he's been called everything from a hillbilly to a geek. But you know what? You know what former President Trump called him?
He's an MIT grad, though.
Politician. Huh?
If I'm not mistaken, he's a geek. He's a hillbilly that graduated from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's probably where he got his ability to build that house.
Well, he was, yes. And you know, what I thought was interesting was one of the things that he said. I thought this was rather interesting. You know, he said that he had never been north of the Mason-Dixon line until he had actually gone to MIT. But anyway, I'm going to highly recommend not only the interview between Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey and Tucker Carlson, but also the movie video he did called Off the Grid. It is absolutely so compelling. I mean, it tells you about the love of land. He and his girlfriend, who was a high school girlfriend, I guess married, and they bought his wife's farm, and he built this farmhouse and on the land that belonged, I guess, to her family. But it's just it's a wonderful, wonderful video. My brother just watched it and loved it. And anyway, that's kind of my say on. I call Thomas Massey. Of course, Kentucky's had a couple of good guys, too, like Rand Paul and Ron Paul. But I think Ron was really from Texas. Well, actually, Rand Paul might have been originally from Texas, but we call them Kentuckians anyway. So that's just in response to how I ran across Sam Dixon.
Well, I'm glad it was okay. I spoke with Lester Maddox at an SCV group. I represented one of the SCV camps in Atlanta when the Olympic Games people tried to ban Confederate flags from a parade in the course of the Olympics. And we were able to get the federal judge to order them to allow people to have Confederate flags. But anyway, they invited me to speak because of that. And Lester Maddox was one of the other speakers. And Maddox was very amused by what I had to say about Jimmy Carter. I'm a member of the SCV, and I think I must have dropped out inadvertently because I don't want to get their magazine, Confederate Veteran. But Confederate Veteran had an article about Jimmy Carter's Civil War ancestry shortly after he was elected president in 1972. Yeah. And every single one of them was a traitor, a deserter, or draft dodge. This is remarkable. Sherman was going through the state, burning everything in his path. He spared a couple of churches and he spared Masonic lodges, but everything else, he was burning hospitals, food stores, everything. And Carter's ancestors were so sorry, they wouldn't even defend their own state from a man like Sherman. You would have to wonder how this scum comes to represent our country and move over our, you know, get these things. When you read about these people, the Cairo biographies of Lyndon Johnson, Lyndon Johnson is just an appalling person. I mean, that's terrible.
Oh, right. Murderer like the Clintons.
I had a lesbian client when I was a young lawyer. She came to me after the Atlanta Journal ran an article attacking me. They used to run these articles about every 4 years before the internet, and they were always the same. That there was this person in Atlanta that people thought was normal, but he's really an evil, horrible person, and so on. And they would have people quoted me at the Defamation League to talk about how awful I was. But anyhow, this woman came to me because of that. She was a rather well-known artist in Georgia, and she needed lawyer help, and she told me that she'd come to me because of that article. And she said, I think you ought to know that I am a lesbian and I'm an atheist. And I do not care about most of the things that right-wingers talk about. I don't give a damn about people burning the federal flag. I don't give a damn about abortion. I don't care about prayer in schools. So there are three things I care about, two of which are eugenics and race. And so if you can put up with me, I'll be happy to have you as my lawyer. And it was a really wonderful relationship. She was a daughter of a president of one of the South's leading universities, and she was a very cultivated, aristocratic woman. But the point of all this is that she came to my office one day, and I was down in the dumps about something that had happened in the papers. And she said, you're upset about something. What is it? And I told her, and she looked at me and she said, Sam, you've got to get over this. And she was about 80 years old. She said, it's going to be like this all your life. She said, you have to understand that we live in a universal suffrage democracy where every fool and deadbeat is allowed to vote. And she said, when countries become universal suffrage democracies, we're then governed by two classes of people, the scum that floats to the top and the dregs that sink to the bottom. So these are the two classes that rule. And she said, and the dregs and the scum, should they have common interest, and they work against decent people. And I have thought of that thousands of times.
That is, I'm about to remember that picture. I just wrote that down. Well, people, believe it or not, we go to a bottom of the hour break. It's going to be a long break, about 5 minutes. If you want to get some coffee, use the bathroom, whatever you want to need to do, you got plenty of time. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Hang on, folks.
Thank you. Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jen Gelber. The White House says the Russian offensive in Ukraine's Kharkiv region has stalled. On Friday, White House official John Kirby said the arrival of U.S. weapons in Ukraine has helped change the trajectory of the fight. Kirby said Russia's advance on Kharkiv is all but over, and their forces have appeared to have stopped. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has formally disclosed a 2019 trip funded by a GOP mega donor. This vacation, which was initially reported by ProPublica, was at the center of a controversy. Thomas had not previously included the trip in his annual financial disclosure, stating that its omission was inadvertent. The revelation has led to calls from Democrats for Supreme Court ethics reforms. The heat wave that's been slamming the West is expected to continue over the weekend and into next week. Temperatures are forecast to reach their highest since last summer from parts of interior California into Oregon and the Rockies, affecting dozens of states. Cities like Phoenix and Las Vegas could peak at 10 to 15 degrees above average. Salt Lake City will see highs in the 90s over the weekend, and Boise could approach 100. Rates of uninsured minorities are reportedly dropping. The Health and Human Services Department says between 2010 and 2022, the uninsured rate among Black Americans went from over 20% to just under 11%. Among Latinos, the rate went from nearly 33% to 18%. The report credits the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, which went into effect in 2010. Wall Street is closing lower to end the week. Stocks slipped after a stronger-than-expected jobs report took the steam out of the markets. GameStop shares plunged nearly 40% after the trader known as Roaring Kitty hosted his first live stream since the meme stock craze in 2021. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Hello, Blood River Radio family. I kind of forget what order we were in because I was enjoying the conversation during the break so much, but I guess we'll just go with the bell cow. Bell cow, you had something very interesting, and forgive me, but I can't remember what it was. I don't think it was a Thomas Matthew tape, but it was it, oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Go ahead and tell us what you got.
Well, I tell you, it's a couple different things that I wanted to talk about the tarn feathering, which we try to do weekly. And it's going to be dedicated to Senator Chuck Schumer and Representative Mike Johnson, who have invited Bibi Netanyahu to address both houses of Congress. Now, I think they've got a date already set up in June. And I'm hoping that thousands and thousands of protesters will be there against this no-good scumbag Bibi Netanyahu, who is a war criminal. He should be arrested by the U.S., but it would be unlikely because most of the war criminals are sitting up in D.C. and they're not going to arrest him because they're one of them. They also are war criminals, and I hope that the ICC will go ahead and take out some arrest warrants for people like Mike Johnson and Biden and Schumer and these other people. But unfortunately, what's going to happen is when Netanyahu shows up, there's going to be bowing and kissing and applauding, and there will be very few people who will have the guts to not stand up and salute him. He won't be arrested, but he should be arrested. And one other thing which I found out about is that in Germany, this 95-year-old German woman, Ursula Haberbach, is back in court in her, it's an appeals process regarding a previous one-year jail conviction for Holocaust denial, blah, 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 and more blah.
Well, have you heard about Justin Trudeau's bill they're trying to pass in Canada?
I'm sorry?
Justin Trudeau is trying to pass another anti-hate law in Canada.
Oh, sure.
And this one is really reliable because there's no statute of limitations, and it's ex post facto legislation, which in Anglo-Saxon countries has generally been disfavored. And is expressly not allowed under the American Constitution, but under the Bill of Rights. But they will be able to prosecute people who said hateful things, regardless of when they took place. If they get somebody that said something that Jews are offended by or blacks are offended by in 1965, they'll be able to indict them now. And this is something I've never. There are a lot of countries that have ex post facto, criminal crimes. And what that means in plain English is you pass a law and you say that it's retroactive. You can go back in time and prosecute people for breaking a law that didn't exist when they did this. But this one is, I don't know what you'd call it in Latin, pro facto or something. They can also, they are empowered to arrest people and punish them if they believe there's a reasonable chance or a likelihood that someday they will commit hate, they will say something hateful. You subscribe to these newspapers and you've done this, you've done that, and we're afraid you're going to say something someday, and so we're going to put you in jail. I believe the jail sentence is 20 years.
Fine.
And they also, they have a reward. It's either $10,000 or $20,000 Canadian dollars if you turn somebody in, you turn your neighbor in.
Oh,
well, I have a neighbor Yeah, I mean, this really, these people are, they're coming out of their, behind their masks. They're showing us what they are. So, you know, Trudeau, it wants Germany, and once Canada adopts it, you know that the government in Germany, run by people like the former head, Angela Merkel, they're going to have to get that themselves to show that they're not going to tolerate people saying hateful things. It's really remarkable.
But, you know, just pass something in the House that had to do with anti-Semitism, but I don't know what has been the results in the Senate.
They've adopted a definition of anti-Semitism. The Georgia legislature, at the behest of this terrible governor we have, Brian Kemp, they did the same thing. And what this does is, it looks very innocent at first, although it's a lie. It defines anti-Semitism as hostility to Jews, and then it lists the ways the things that exhibit it, including other things, accusing Jews of dual loyalty.
Yes.
Well, we have members of Congress. We have members of Congress who are citizens of the United States and of Israel. Now, which country are they loyal to? Obviously, they have dual loyalty. There are 200,000 people living in Israel who have dual citizenship with America and Israel, and they vote in American elections. The two political parties have campaign offices in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. In our elections to try to get this 200,000 person vote. So obviously, if you're two countries, you have dual loyalty. But if you say that, the law now says that this proves you're an anti-Semite, and the way they can use these things is that if you're accused of a hate crime, one of the things the jury has to find is that you were motivated by hate. And so because you have this definition, the judge can now read it to the jury and say, well, Nancy Hertz said that Jews often have dual loyalty. And the law is defined. You don't even have to find this as a matter of fact. We have already determined that somebody who says something like that is acting out of hate.
Right. There's a representative in Florida, I think Mast is his last name. He actually went sat in Congress in his IDF uniform. He served in the IDF. And, of course, he's a big proponent of Israel. Uh-huh. Yeah, we've got, and I think I've sent Eddie the copy of a letter I write to a man who's in prison in
yes.
Canada, Leslie Borey. And, I mean, he is done nothing violent at all. He's been kind of an eternal candidate, and he's talked about the Jews, and he's talked about the economic situation in Canada, and he's been behind bars without a trial, without bail for 15 months already. So, I mean, it's really coming our way. It's really already at our doorstep, to be quite honest. And I want to pitch out something else. If we get Nikki Haley in, and Trump wants to put her into a government position, She's a really good advocate for Israel. She visited recently to Israel, and on a bombshell during her recent visit to Israel, she wrote, "Finish them," meaning blow up the Palestinians. This is who Trump, who's a Jew sympathizer, he wants to place Nikki Haley in a position, probably in his cabinet. Who knows? Maybe as vice president.
Well, we have Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina. He said that he wanted nuclear bombs used on Gaza.
Oh, right.
He also said that the more Russians get killed, the happier he is. Now, how can South Carolina vote for someone like that? I feel like I'm a South Carolinian, even though I was born and lived in Georgia. My family has been South Carolinians for centuries. I used to spend the summers with my grandmother in South Carolina. I'm very fond of South Carolina. But I just can't imagine how South Carolinians can vote for people like Nikki Haley and Dred Scott, or Tim Scott, whatever his name is, Nikki Haley. How can they vote for people like this?
Lindsey Graham is the all of these people are just bought and sold. And they're bought. They've either they've got something in that a honeypot they're involved in, some kind of scam they've been involved in, and they're getting bribed by the Israelis daily, in my opinion.
Oh, well, I think we also have to look at the why waste the money? I think there's a much better investment to put people in office that you can blackmail. And, you know,
sure.
you discover things. Strom Thurmond had the illegitimate black child. You know, that was known to the NAACP. It was known to National Public Radio. They said they knew it before National Public Radio even had its first broadcast. It was known to J. Edgar Hoover. It was known to the Kennedys. It was known to Lyndon Johnson. What this means is that all the decades that Strom Thurmond was in the U.S. Senate and he was being presented as the leader of the Southerners on the issue of desegregation, he could never be legitimate. They had him. Yeah. They owned him.
Y'all, we got to go to our last break of the last hour. We'll be right back. I have a couple of questions I want to ask Sam. One of them I've been wanting to ask him for quite some time that Nancy reminded me of. So people, we'll be right back at this brief intermission.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I can't believe we come to the last segment of the last hour, but Sam talked about something absolutely dynamite, and we want him to expand upon the blackmail going on by our representatives and our military officers, and hope there's enough time for him to expand into H.R. 6090 when he gets through that. But go ahead, Sam, please. Absolutely. Expand upon
I mentioned the illegitimate mixed-race child that Strom Thurmond had before he ever got elected to the U.S. Senate from South Carolina, to show that our leader in the South, leader in the U.S. Senate, was completely under their control. And if you pay attention and listen to the news, you pick up on these things. And I'll give you three of them in a row. Representative Haskert of Mississippi. He was the number three leadership position in the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. After he retired, it came out that he had molested a male student when he was a wrestling coach teaching in a high school in Mississippi. And National Public Radio, which I listen to when the story broke, they brought out the sister of this boy that was molested by Hesketh. The boy is now dead. And she was indignant. She said, what my family would like to know is, why is this news now? She said, we went to the media when he ran for Congress. We went to the district attorney. We went to the media. For years, we've been trying to tell people this guy is a child molester. And nothing was ever reported about it. And now suddenly it's news. So that was Hesketh. They had that on Hesketh at all times. The governor of New Jersey, I forget his last name, it's an Irish name, so it's Mac. He was married and had children, but he apparently was attracted to other men. And he went to Israel, and they had an Israeli army officer made available to him. And this guy came back. He brought him back to America. They hurried him through a naturalization ceremony and made him head, this Israeli, who was not even an American citizen the day before, became the head of Homeland Security in the state of New Jersey. And the governor finally had a press conference and said he was quitting politics because he said he was being blackmailed by the Israeli man that he'd had the affair with. But I think what was actually happening, they were probably demanding that he get himself involved in murdering people or something very serious. And so he decided he would just give up and throw in the towel and leave politics. And the final example is President John F. Kennedy. You hear all these Kennedy assassination theorists who say that they think the mafia may have killed Kennedy. The mafia owns Kennedy. We know this. There's a book that was favorably reviewed in the New York Times by a serious writer, published by a serious publishing house. It's not some kind of right-wing underground thing, entitled Havana Nocturne. And then the book Havana Nocturne is about the organized crime in Cuba before Castro took over. And it reveals that the guy that ran organized crime in Cuba was Meyer Lansky, who later, of course, took refuge in Israel.
Damn.
When the U.S. was across him. And it reveals that during the 1950s, when John F. Kennedy was the junior senator from Massachusetts, on three-day weekends, he would fly down to Havana with Frank Sinatra, where they were the guests of Meyer Lansky in his penthouse apartment above the most elegant whorehouse in Cuba. and they would all get naked and have a group orgy and bring the girls up, and they'd have a big orgy. Well, you know, Meyer Lansky had enough movies of John F. Kennedy in the buff, he could probably fill a wing of a yellow front bookstore. Kennedy was absolutely full of it. And then finally, you have the Epstein Island, you know, with Chief Justice Roberts and Clinton all going down to the Epstein Island. You know, these people who rule over us, the scum that floated to the top in Washington D.C. Probably 95% of them have things like this in their past, and they're completely subject to being blackmailed by these people. They have no wiggle room at all.
Yes, we used to have a fellow come on when I was with the political cesspool. His name was Inspector Jim Rothstein. He was a Navy veteran, and he was in there at the USS. What was that ship he was on for Bay of Pigs? Anyway. He was became a police officer. He's originally from Minnesota, became a police officer in Manhattan in an area that the cops called the Minnesota Strip. And he said this was going on, Sam, that they were bringing, the reason they'll call it the Minnesota Strip, the powers that be were bringing these beautiful, tall, blue-eyed, blonde Aryan children in from Minnesota, Wisconsin, a lot of northern Germanic people there, and they're beautiful kids. They were bringing them in. He said they were literally auctioning them off. But he said that at least, he said a low ballpark, to back you up, Sam, he said at least 30 to 40% of the representatives of Washington, D.C. were compromised in that way. Drugs, I mean, you would not believe the stuff he said. Satan worship, this guy here busted, he was set up the sting that busted the son of Sam, the 44 Bulldog killer. But you're so right, Sam. You're 100% right, my brother. Before we run out of time, I'd like to ask you the question. This Anti-Semitism Act, Awareness Act of 1690, was passed by the House that Nancy brought up. Will the Senate pass it? Has it become law? And how bad would the penalties be, Sam, in your opinion?
Well, they will pass it. I mean, you know, the same reason you're just saying. They can't say no. They cannot say no. Due to the blackmail and due to the huge amounts of money that they have to have in re-election and due to the media. And so it will be passed. The way they'll use it is that it doesn't make it a crime. It just defines what hate is. And if you accuse Jews of dual loyalty, this means that the law has already said somebody who says that is acting out of hate. And they can read that as a charge when you're charged with a hate crime. And the thing with these hate crimes is they elevate misdemeanors to felonies. That's the way our hate law works here in Georgia. You can have a misdemeanor, but if there's hate involved, which of course is only only Jews and blacks and homosexuals and so they are the only people protected under the anti-hate law. You can say whatever you want about Roman Catholics, about the Pope, you know, about the Presbyterians, Unitarians, you know. That's okay, but the hate laws apply only to certain protected people who have special rights, and so you can commit a crime that is trivial. They're trying this in Georgia now. They want to prosecute people who have handed out anti-Jewish leaflets and left on people's lawns. They want to make littering raise it to a felony because the leaflets were critical of Jews. And so, you know, people, they don't realize how dangerous these anti-hate laws are. You know, if you had two groups of people having a demonstration, you have the homosexuals who are demonstrating for what they want, and you have the fundamentalists, the Christians, who are demonstrating what they want, and they come into contact with each other. If a Christian, one of the Christian demonstrators, slugs one of the homosexual demonstrators, that's a hate crime, and the fist fight will be elevated from a misdemeanor to a felony. If on the other hand, one of the homosexuals slugs a Christian, that's only a misdemeanor. That's how these laws work.
Was that in effect in Charlottesville, Sam? We went there. Would that kind of the de facto proxy law? I don't know how have you say it. Were those laws similar type? Laws used to put our people. We have people still in prison in Charlottesville for the August 12th of 2017 Battle of Charlottesville. Is that the kind of laws they? Was it like? Did they use that type tactics, Sam?
I don't know if they were specifically charged with violating the anti-hate laws. I would imagine they would. Now, why wouldn't they? And you know, now you have this incredible thing that they're inviting the 300 guys who carried tiki torches the night before and had this tiki torch parade, that's part of American history. Abraham Lincoln used those all the time in his political campaigns. The Republicans in the 1860s specialized in torchlight parades. But Virginia has this weird law that if you set fire to an object with the intent of intimidating people, you are guilty of a felony. And so this newly elected DA, the previous DA, refused to indict these people. He was then defeated by a Soros-backed DA, who is now indicting these people 7 years later for carrying a torch and torchlight parade. And they're bringing in a Jewish lady who was a student. They're having her testified. She was in her dorm, and she claims to have heard people chanting, "Jews will not replace her," and that she has suffered emotional distress from hearing this chant. And they've got a transsexual who claims he's emotionally or she's emotionally upset and so on. And you probably heard that the first of these cases ended in a hung jury, surprisingly, last week. So they're doing things like this, which is lawfare.
Yes, well, Sam, my brother, and Miss Lizzie, Big Sister Lizzie, a.k.a. the Bell Cow, we've come to the complete end of this program. It's gone by fast, super fast. I'd like to thank both of you for coming in. You've done amazing. You really have. And I'd like to thank Miss Lizzie, a.k.a. Miss Teenage America, for doing a flawless job on the board. Thank Ron Kukal for coming in. I'd like to thank our Blood River Radio family for keeping us on the air with your support and donations. I will tell people, same time next week, God willing, it'll be the 15th. We'll have a couple of the Sailors in. We'll do it kind of like this. This last hour, we'll do stuff like this. But God bless you, and see you same time next week. Good night, everybody.